Church for having me here this morning to share God's Word with you. About roughly 10 years ago, I left in New Jersey, and we whole family moved to Texas, Austin. And in Texas, you know, everything is so big, so it's very different from here. And today I can share with you the message. I think the scripture we just read, and we are very familiar with that passage. Because we all know that passage very well. During the wedding, during premarital counseling. This is a changing world. if I remember that in the past 20 or 30 years, there's always something coming out. Like in the mid-80s, Apple computers, they invent something called iMac. And later on, there's something called iTunes, and iPod, iPhone, iPad, and iCloud. So my church members ask me, Pastor, have you been working for a high-tech company before? Well, what's after iCloud? They think as a pastor, I should know something, right? So I said, the next one will be called, and whatever, I something, the next one will be called, I don't know. I think that's the world we live in today. There's a lot of uncertainties, something we don't know, because the environment changes. Yeah, as the day goes. In the past 6 days, I was on the cruise of the ship. So when I was there the first day, a friend of mine, we were talking, and she said, she has a seasick. We get her fainted very quickly on the seat. I said, no, you won't. Because the ships will really start sailing. But we don't notice the changes. But after 6 days, on the ship for 6 days, I was okay. I don't feel any offended or sickness. But when I came out, I feel the shaking. Everything is shaking. Right? So the environment, it changes everything. When I saw lots of old friends here, I'm very happy to see a lot of good friends after 10 years. Of course, we all changed. People always say, the week before last Sunday, I was in my mama's church in that area. We haven't seen each other for more than 10 years. The first words they can say, most people can say, is that you haven't changed a bit. I think it's for the politeness. Right? But of course, we all change. One way or the other. Because environment changes, the time changes, the technology changes, economical, the environment, society is changing, everything changes. And we also are part of the changing. But in this changing world, only thing I can guarantee is the changing itself. Always changing. This is the society. This environment we live in. Today, I can share with you the passages from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But before chapter 13, in chapter 12, Paul said that the spiritual gift, he mentioned lots of things, the prophecies, the speaking in tongues, the amazing acts, the powerful spiritual acts or something. Lots of spiritual gifts Paul mentioned. But at the end of chapter 12, he said, now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. Right? The most precious spiritual gift. Not what he mentioned, speaking in town, preaching, prophesying. In chapter 13, he said, love. That's the most important spiritual gift. At the very beginning of chapter 13, Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels. So people speak different languages. In the month of May, 2 months, a month ago, I stayed in Netherlands, Holland, in Europe, for 1 month. I talked to the churches there, in Chinese churches, but the second generation people, they speak many, many different languages. They speak Dutch, of course, English, Chinese, French, and also German languages, because so close, right? So, if I speak two languages, what do you call that type of people? We call bilingual, right? How about three? languages, what do we call it?
Trilingual.
If a person only speaks one language, what do we call it? We call it American. Most Americans speak one language. But if you go to Europe, you know, those people, especially young people, they speak probably three languages. Most people can, in Holland, naturally, I think they can speak three languages, the least. But it's important speaking different languages, a foreign language. But Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men, that means the worldly languages, and even the language of angels. Okay, that's a heavenly melodies or heavenly languages. And very few people understand what's the language of angels. But Paul said, even I can speak tongues of men, of angels, but do not have love. I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Cymbal and gong, that's something in the first century. You know, in the entrance of a temple, pagan's temple, there are always something, big cymbals, drum or gong, something putting outside the temple. So for the worshippers, before they get in, they use whatever rod or something to hit the cymbal, so make a loud sound to awaken the pagan gods. So whatever they're going to pray afterwards, the god will listen, all right, to awaken the gods from sleeping. So the cymbal or gongs, you know, you hear the sounds. There's no melody, just a dumb, very loud. Right? So how here it compares? If you speak in many different foreign languages, even the language of angels, without love, you are nothing. And then after the second, the verse second here, Paul say, if I have the gift of prophecy and can perform all mysteries and all knowledges. Here Paul talks about all kinds of knowledges, mystery, and the gift of prophecy. I think gift of prophecy is important. And most of the churches, they all treasure. Yeah, they're kind of spiritual gifts. All kinds of knowledges. Psychologies, theologies, philosophies. You know, lots of knowledge, ologies. Education is important. We're a professor here. Education is important. And most of the people, I think, in the church, the country leaders, they always put education in very high priorities. And they think education can change people. Yes, it's important to gain knowledge. You have to gain, to build some foundations for the future. But Paul says here, even you have all knowledges, right, without love, you still have nothing. And also Paul mentioned here, if I have a faith that can move mountains, do you have a faith today? I think most Christians, we all have a faith. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, for my sin. And we believe Jesus Christ, He resurrected from death, from tomb. So therefore, we have the eternal life. And Jesus, His blood on the cross, washed away our sins. We have a faith. But you have a faith. But do you have a faith, you know, strong enough? You say, can move mountains. Probably we are lacking that type of faith. But Paul said, even you have faith that can move mountains. But do not have love, I am nothing. Alright, we have a very strong faith, even can move mountains. But do we have a love? Do we have a motive? And Paul here says, if I give all I possess to the poor, Paul here talking about the generosity. Okay, we give. Maybe we give portion of our salary, savings or something. But Paul here says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, or I surrender my body to the flames, that means you give it all. Give your salaries, your insurance policies, your savings, give it all. You know, today a lot of celebrities, the rich people, they give a lot of monies, like Bill Gates, like Warren Buffett, give a lot of monies to the poor. to the needed countries, to Africa. Now they give a lot, but the key issue is what's the motive behind it. That's something God extend us and look upon us. What's our motive for giving? Madonna, she's a singer, very famous singer for many, many years. So she said she also gave a lot. She also adopted those third world, very poor kids from very poor countries. And he set up good examples for societies. But the people criticize her, say, how long it can last. Most of celebrities, they're doing something for the good cause, right? To raise the awareness, to raise the people, look at them. But for every project, there's some people criticize and say, if the project can last for 20 years, then they can understand the motive is good. But most, the project, it has a good cause. But it only lasts 2 or 3 years, it suddenly disappeared. So Madonna, one time reporters interviewed her, said, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be remembered 20, 30, 50 years after? She said she wanted to be remembered as the, in India, Gandhi is the father, the country, Father Gandhi, right? And also, want to remember as the pop singers, John Lennon, can also remember as the movement, the civil right, the movement leader, Martin Luther King in the U.S. Okay, those are three leaders as a heroes to the whole world, in music, societies, in the human rights societies, in the political environment. And she wants to be the hero to be remembered for the rest of her life, or forever. But the reporter asked her, said, okay, do you know those are three guys, the way they died, they all been assassinated. The Madonna said, no, I don't want to be assassinated. I want to be remembered as the world hero. Well, of course, we do things. We always set the examples or whatever we do. There's always something affects the people around us. Smaller, maybe bigger, shorter time, maybe longer time. But here say, Paul say, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I may boast. But do not have left, I gain nothing. What's your motive of your generosity? What's your motive? You can inspire other people. So now, from verse 4, he changed the subject stayed the same, but from different angle to see. But today, I'm going to just share with you the first aspect of the love chapter, just the first aspect. Love is patient. Love is patient. There's a lot of other things about love. But the first, from verse 1 to verse 3 here, Paul said, is love, the importance of love is important. Right? But compare with spiritual gifts, compare with generosity, with faith, with knowledges, with commitment, love is far above, far beyond the importance of those things. Generosity, a commitment, spiritual gifts, faith, and knowledge. So love is important. Verse 4 here, love is patient. Do you love someone? I know more probably most of your parents. Okay? And the people, when they live together, have been married for many, many years. Love is patient. I've been married for more than 30 years. And I've been officiating the weddings in my church in the past 10 years, many, many couples. And when during the wedding time, yesterday, one of your pastors got married. So I said, most of the sacred, our important moment is the exchange of vows that time. So, You know, even the wedding ceremony could be different. But changing vows is the most sacred. Yeah, when they ask the bride and groom, yeah, they change vows. So regardless of the environment, regardless of changing the health conditions, okay, regardless the changing, but they all commit their lives to love each other. And we never separate until death, you know, put them apart. That's a commitment we made in front of God, in front of all the relatives and friends inside the church. But of course, at that time, I think they are very sincere. When they exchange vows, I can see the tears, you know, coming out from their eyes. Very sincere. But however, after a couple of years, or couple months after, as a pastor in the church, okay, we always do the premarital counseling, you know, before weddings. Sometimes 12 sessions, at least 8 sessions. But the commitment they have shown, right? And they do believe, they love each other. But after marriage, maybe a honeymoon or a year after, you know, as a pastor, sometimes you receive a phone call in midnight. The people remember, or the newlywed couples remember pastors. I believe no one remembers pastors during the honeymoon. Always when they have troubles. You know, in their lives, they call pastor, they think about the pastor, only they have a conflict of troubles. So that's the society. Do you remember, like the end of April, the wedding, royal weddings, you know, Princess William and Kate. That time I was on my way to Europe. So in the airport, I saw a lot of people gather around the TV, and they saw the weddings. I saw the wedding too. But I remember more than 30 years ago, the Prince William's father, Prince Charlie, he got married about 31 or 32 years ago. At that time, I just got married. All right, so I know, you know, what it feels, you know, during the wedding. At that time, I loved my wife dearly. So the Prince Charlie, the reporter had an interview before the wedding. He showed the clips. And Prince Charlie said, "I'm the luckiest person in the whole world." Okay, at that time I was watching TV, I said, "I'm the luckiest person in the whole world." But Charles, he said, "Yeah, okay, he met Diana. And from now on, they will live happily ever together." But as a matter of fact, you know, we all know, okay, after their marriage, there's a disaster. Yeah, events one after the other. And less than 10 years, their marriage ended up with divorce. Okay, and also the Queen Elizabeth, she has 4 children. Okay, then Queen Elizabeth, she's married for 65 years. And all her children, those are 4 children, they all got married, but all end up with divorce. So, 2 people live together with maybe with different backgrounds, cultures, it's not easy. But not just in the house, family, marriage, also in the church. You know, your relationship with your siblings, the church co-workers, we serve together. And patience is very important, how we can live together. Of course, your husband and wife, when they got married, love each other. But as time goes, there is always a conflict. Very few of the conflicts have come from the political issues or economical changes. Okay, most of the problems come from the value systems. Okay, I've been dealing with the church couples. Okay, when they fight, they don't fight with whether U.S. President Bush should send the troops to Afghanistan or Iraq. They don't fight over, you know, that kind of issues. What are they fighting for? Value systems. Like how much they should give the church, the offerings. You know, like in Austin, the city I live, there are always beggars, you know, on the corner. Okay, at the intersection, the traffic light. So the husband may be driving, the wife is sitting right next to the husband. and the stop sign stopped. So husband gives some changes, or $1 to the beggars, and the wife said no. Or how much, whether we should give or not. It's a small thing. But husband and wife, openly, they fight over. The value systems could be different. Maybe how you train your kids, how they can spend money, how they can deal with their in-laws or out-laws, that kind of issues. So love is patience. It's not easy. But if you only say, all right, I'm only here for a couple hours. Okay, I can be pretend. I have lots of patience with you guys. Are you treating me with patience? If short period of time, that's easy. One day, 10 hours, or even 1 week. By our capabilities. Okay, I think we can do. But love and patience here, talking about the time. Okay, how long? The marriage, you say 5 years, 10 years? It's no ending. Until death, separate or part us. Okay, we don't know how long it can be. But love is patient. That's one of very important aspects of love. Okay, husband and wife especially. One time their husband and wife, in the evening, they have a very important party they have to go to. It's very important. So the wife say, okay, I need a new dress. So the wife asked the husband to go with her to a very fancy store to buy a dress for that evening's party. So the wife, of course, look at something and go to the dress room and change and come back to show the husband how he looks. Most husbands say, great. But the wife say, no, it's not good enough for me. So she finds another one and get back to the dress room and make a change and come out. And ask the husband again how he looks. Husband say, excellent. The wife say, no, the color is not right. So making change back and forth, finally. The husband was very patient. But after a couple of hours, he loses his temper even. There's no patience. So when the wife finally came out with the dress, the husband said, that dress, before she asked, the husband said, that's the best dress. The color is right, it fits you right away. So regardless, it's a very fancy store. So the husband said, regardless of the price, okay, right now, I'm going to go to pay for it, and let's get out of here. The wife say, that dress, you don't need to pay. It's free, you don't need to pay. The husband say, how come? You never heard this thing. Such an elegant store, such a nice dress. And we don't need to pay, we can go? The wife say, yes, we can leave right away without paying the money. Because when I came out of my house today, I was dressed the same dress right now. I'm there. That's the same dress. Of course, we have the patience. But how long your patience can last, that's the problem. If the commitment is a lifelong, and then it's not easy. When love is patient. Okay, one time there's an actor. He played Jesus. It's an attraction, it's a touring place. He played Jesus. So he carried a very heavy cross. Go up to the hill. But there's a tourist making fun of that actor, Jesus, making fun of him, and trying to make a face on him, and also say some words, disrespect the actors. So he was angry, to the point he cannot control himself. So he put down his cross, and came to that tourist and punched him. And came back to carry the cross again. So the director, at the end of the play, the director said, no way, you cannot do this. Because you are Jesus. Jesus never retaliates people. Jesus always forgives and forget. So the director said, if you do it again tomorrow, you'll be fired. So that actor, the next day, he remembered what the director said, Jesus never retaliates. Jesus will take all the insults. So next day the actor is the same play over again. But suppose you change the audience. because it's a touring place. So the next day he carried the cross again, you know, walk up to the hill. And the same person showed up. Okay, the same person yesterday, you know, mocking him, and the hecklers. This sent him, making face, making fun of him, you know, and insult him. So that person, he remembered the American told him, so you are Jesus. You cannot get angry. So that person carried the cross. You know, he held his face and his teeth. He tried his best, but he said to that the tourist, say, hey, I remember you. I will get back to you after I resurrected. After resurrection. Right? So, of course, yeah, if it's just once or twice, there's no issue. In our daily life, maybe you know, the way you treat your brothers and sisters, even your parents, you know, treat you or between husband and wife. Love is patient. After you marry for certain years, you understand the importance of a patient. It's not easy. In Matthew chapter 18, there's a parable. Jesus said a parable. The parable say that's the what's the kingdom young like. Jesus say a parable. Say a king. The king feels it's about time to settle accounts with his servants. So one of the servants, you know, he owed the king a lot of money. The Bible say 10,000 bags of gold, a lot of money. So the king has a servant to come. Say, you owe me that much, a lot of money. Now is the time. We need to settle the accounts. But the servant say, I don't have money. So according to the society rules, you know, that time, the Jewish rules, and he has to sell all his belongings, including his families, his wife, his children. But the servant kneeled down and begged the king, have mercy on me. I need your mercy, I need your patience. Give me more time so I might be able to repay you back for I have owed you. But because the servant is very poor, the king is very rich. So the king, his heart was touched by his plea. So he said, all right, servant, I will forget all the debts. Wipe out all the debts. Now you can go. But right after he left, the king's throne. When he went out on the street, he saw someone owed him only like a 10 silver coins, very small of money. So he grabbed his friend, saying, pay me back for those 10 silver coins you owe me. That person said, I don't have money. So he put him into jail, tortured him because he couldn't pay back. Yeah, those are 10 silver coins he owns. So when the king heard, what happened outside his courtyard, the very same servant, he owned, the debt, huge debt to the king. So once he went out, he could not forgive the person that owned him, only for small money. So the king heard this and asked people to bring back the servant. Say, how come I forgive you, I wipe out all the debts. Why cannot you extend the patience, extend the mercy I give to you, to your friends? And that person, he has no word to say. So he was put by the king, put into jail, to suffer the rest of his life there, because he cannot afford to pay his debt. So the parable, just like all of us, we all have a huge debt because we are all sinful persons, human beings. But the king, just like Jesus Christ, can he forgive and forget? He has a patience. And we always say, your patience with me, I will pay you back. But we can never pay back to whatever Jesus has done in our life. We say, be patient with me. We may plead to the people. We may plead, ask for mercy of others. Because Jesus forgives us. Jesus loves us. And And Jesus' love is not because something we deserved. You know, just being certain. The king wiped out all his debts, not because he deserved, but because the king. He's a patient, and he's a mercy, and he's love. So all of us, we are all Jesus. The huge debts, we cannot pay back. But what we need to do, just like Jesus said, the way I love you. You should love your brothers, love your sisters, love your co-workers, love your parents, love your children. And verse 8, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love never fails. Love never fails. In the world, there's a lot of economies, you know, political situations, the governments, positions, a lot of things you will fail as time goes. But here say, love is patient, and love never fails. Even say, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. There are a lot of things come and go. Yeah, you see it today, tomorrow something will replace even the most outstanding, your most up-to-date technologies or whatever we enjoy today. But love is patient, and love never fails. Maybe some of you here today are struggling with patience in your life. I think all of us, we are struggling in our life. And patience, one way or the other. God has been so patient with me, been so patient with you. Why don't we let Holy Spirit work in our life to develop the patience in us? And how can we do this? By our ability, capabilities, we cannot. We need to be able to connect with the unchanging the melody. God Himself, He never changed, regardless of the time, ages, situation, environment. But do we have our lives connected with something unchanged melody? So make Him be part of your lives. Make God be part of your daily walk with Him, so we can have the love, because love is patient, and love never fails. That's a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love, even we don't deserve. We ask Your love, Your patience, yeah, be patient with us. That's our prayer. And we ask You to lead us, so we can extend Your love to the people surrounding us. And the love is kind, love is patient. We thank You, but You are the creator of this verse. You are the head of this church. Give us the love from above, so we can love our sisters and brothers and our family members. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.